Hey guys, we are back in black. It is Jen and
I'm Carrie.
And we are here with guess what episode?
We are doing 86. Good God.
Yep, we got 14 left. You gonna be ready for that anniversary that you're supposed to be planning?
Yeah. And it is. Hey, it's moving along, right?
Oh, yeah. Moving right along. We are getting there. And we are...
back in black, for sure. Speaking of...
Absolutely.
Just very quickly, speaking of back in black, you ended up essentially doing a little research, and you ended up finding a few things about your family, if I'm not mistaken.
I did. I researched my last name, my maiden name. And come to find out, I thought it was Scottish. It is not. It is Irish. Irish and English. The last name is Hurst.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the Hurst gear shifters.
That's right.
Unfortunately, not related enough to profit from that.
There's a few Hearsts.
Oh yeah, but found out that it is a location name, just like a heathen is someone who lives in the heath. A Hearst would be someone who lived near a hill or a wooded locale. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got a coat of arms and everything. It's really cool.
Well, it turns out that you and Tilda do have a lot in common, it turns out.
On opposite sides of the fence, she has Scottish, very, very notable Scottish ancestry, and I have very, very notable Irish ancestry.
Oh, okay.
So I truly am your Black Irish.
Yes, you and so back in black is the Black Irish.
Absolutely, back in black. I did, however, do some other research that I'm not real happy with. I watched the very first episode of Depp versus Heard on Netflix. And let me tell you, people, watch it if you want to. If you watched the trial, it's just a recap. It's showing the two testimonies side by side, which is something you did not get during the trial.
Okay.
And it does show just how bad an actress Amber Heard is.
Okay.
Some things you can tell that she is, you know, she's really feeling it. When she talks about her and Johnny when they first met and that first kiss and things like that, you know, you can tell she was totally gobsmacked by the whole Johnny Depp personality. Other things, you know, once again, just like during the trial, she's so over the top with the tears and the pouting and it's so forced. It's not even funny. And they do try. They try their best to show her in a good light. They really do. They try. It's just not possible.
Yeah, when the stage is set and you can actually see it play out in some kind of modicum of real time, you know, like you said, you have them next to each other doing the, you know, side-to-side comparison.
And, you know, I have to, you know, some of these other, there's quite a few cutaways to other reporters, other podcasters, and one is like, oh, this is the patriarchy at work. This is blaming the victim at its finest. I was like, yeah, that's what you guys did every time you blamed Johnny.
Yeah, it seems pretty parcel.
So, you know, keep on about how blaming Amber is blaming the victim. Listen to how she talks about, I didn't punch you. I hit you. I was hitting you. There's a difference. Not too much from what I understand, you know. A slap is a punch is a hit, okay?
Yeah,
I don't care.
You know, striking.
It is still abuse. It is physical abuse. And when she sat there on tape, Johnny, just see how many people will believe you when you tell them that, oh, you're a victim of domestic violence. Nobody's going to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're blaming the victim when we blame Amber Heard. Sure we are. Yeah, that's... Yeah. So, yeah, the entire show pissed me off. Just because they tried so hard to make Amber Heard look at least partially believable. They really tried hard with the cuts and the different scenes and the different recordings and stuff that they played. Very few of Amber's recordings were played. The two that I mentioned are about the only two that were played. Now, Johnny throwing fits and punching walls and slamming doors and things like that. But yeah, not once did he ever move toward Amber with violent intent. Not once. And he fully admits to, I grabbed her around the shoulders and I moved her out of my way so that I could get out of the bedroom. He admits to it.
Yeah.
He admits to the drug use. He admits to the alcoholism. He admits to everything except striking her, which is something I'm sorry I have to believe that he did not do. And the fact that the bruise on her face moved.
It moved. Yeah.
The photos that were taken by the police. The TRO. The restraining.
Yeah, the complainant. Yeah.
Temporary restraining.
The pictures. Right.
The bruise was in one spot in those pictures. But it somehow moved for the pictures that ended up in People magazine. It moved down about a half an inch. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, the cosmetic company that she used to simulate the bruises ended up doing a Twitter or a tweet that said, just to let you know, this is technically how she would be able to do it with this product.
Right. Yep. You know. So the bruise moved. It was all makeup and it was all designed. But the one part that I absolutely loved there toward the end of the episode, they got Amber up there, and at the very beginning of the cross-examination, she goes, the lawyer says, Amber, Mr. Depp has not looked at you, not looked in your direction, not once, since you two have been in this courtroom, has he? And she goes, no, that's because he can't look at me. She goes, no. That's because he promised you he wouldn't, and he always, always follows through on his promises, doesn't he? And she says, I don't know what you're talking about. They played a clip. Apparently, she had tried to hug him after all of this went down, and he's like, don't touch me. He's like, what is wrong with you? After everything you've said, after everything you've done, don't touch me. I just wanted to hug you. No. You're not going to, don't touch me. Don't touch my glasses. Leave my glasses where they are. You will never see my eyes again. And the entire, I went back through the footage that I have, that I had kept. Not once does he ever look in her direction. Not even a little bit.
Right.
He keeps his promises. That's one thing for damn sure. So anyway, if you feel the need, watch it on Netflix. But...
Well, and your analysis, was it a good watch?
It was interesting. It posed a lot of... there was a lot of thought-provoking instances. Things that I really didn't want to think about because, hey, it's Johnny.
Sure.
You know, she put forth some... There was some very tense situations, some very tense testimony... that actually had me going, that sounds way too close to the truth. But bottom line is, I believe Johnny. I believe that he was abused. I believe that regardless, and I hate to say it, women, please don't hang me out to dry for this. If he did end up smacking her at some point, I'm sorry, but the bitch deserved it. Okay? After everything that she has done to him, if somehow, in some way, shape, or form, he ended up smacking her, trying to get her away from him, you can't blame him for it. I'm sorry, but you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, I do not approve of any type of violence in a relationship. I don't approve of guys hitting their girls. I don't approve of girls hitting their guys. I think it's the stupidest thing ever. Oh, tee hee hee ha ha ha, smack. Are you kidding me? How stupid is that? But girls do it all the time. And it's okay as far as society goes. No, no, people, it's not. That's not okay. Well, according to me, that's not okay. But anyway, it's definitely worth a watch. I don't expect it to change anybody's mind.
Everybody's mind's made up at this point, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, if you were for Johnny before you watch this thing, you're going to be for Johnny after you watch it. If you were for Amber, unfortunately, you're still going to be for Amber, even though, because they do try to show her in a better light than the public media did.
Sure.
However, their claims that if the cameras had not been in the courtrooms, if the court of public opinion had not been available, that the court case would have turned out differently? No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think it would have turned out exactly the same.
Gotcha.
But it is worth a watch. I mean, if you want to watch it, if you want to take the time to watch it, it's not a waste of time.
We have actually satisfied the news on Johnny and Tom like we like to open.
Right.
You know, it's really kind of interesting that they ended up putting that out. And, of course, somebody's going to make a series or a movie out of it. And, of course, Netflix is going to have it. You know, it kind of reminds me of, and I'm asking these questions, you know, what did you think of it? And did it seem more one-sided because they did The Dirt with Motley Crue? And that was based off of, you know, the book of their life and times in the early days. And a couple of members of the band were like, okay, look, some of that was, you know, there was a lot of embellishment.
Right.
But by and large, the spirit of it was very true. And, you know, I wonder if that's the case with this thing. This is another Netflix thing. We're talking about sensationalism. However,
they backed up. I do apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
But you know, if it at least, you know, they have to do it for interest to keep you watching and that sort of thing. But if they keep to the spirit of basically what happened and how it all kind of went down, then that's legit.
They backed up all of even like the podcast broadcasts of supposition and what if, and they backed up everything that they broadcast with trial data and fact.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, so, right.
So yes, it's sensationalized. Yes, they did a lot of cutting and pasting, if you will. Mm-hmm. But they did hold to, they didn't try to alter what the testimony was for by cutting it or cutting away or adding, you know, other questions or anything like that. They didn't try to alter the facts of the testimony. So well, I will give Netflix that. They did well.
Yeah, that sounds like it's a worthy watch,
I would say. And, of course, with Tom, other than the fact that Loki Season 2 airs, oh, October, I want to say October 2nd, but I may be wrong on that.
But fairly close?
Oh, yeah, fairly close. Can't believe we are getting into fall. Well, what everybody else in the country has is fall.
Right.
Because we don't have fall here. We have summer and winter. But yeah, we're getting into fall now. It seems like yesterday it was like New Year's. The hell, man.
I know.
This whole year, I mean, you know, the kids had summer vacation and now they're going back to school. And this whole year has just flown. Of course, it seems to me it's gone in fits and starts. Parts of it have just flown and parts of it have dragged as if there was no tomorrow. What about for you?
Well, yeah, it has flown. And sorry, I've got a quick kind of item for Tom.
Sure.
But they are, and there's a promo that's kind of going around, guys. But McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen this?
I have. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's so McDonald's is essentially doing a promotion called the As Featured In Meal. And they've got a few really, really cool, you know, mentions in cinema that had to do with McDonald's. And they're running four different meals that you can get. All right, maybe this isn't a big deal. Sorry.
Oh, no, it is. It is.
I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, it is. Up
basically doing like a Loki
sauce.
Yeah, right. And it was that, you know, where he's kind of standing at the counter and the young lady that's by the counter is like, "What's your order, son?"
And he's so, like,
And we all remember the scene. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of corporations or what have you, but I got to say, that's pretty clever on McDonald's part.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now my son, who is a huge McDonald's fan, is like, "I want the Loki meal."
Of course he does. I mean, come on, Loki's his dad.
Yeah, right.
I keep telling you, anyway, you're Loki incarnate.
Yeah.
What was that? And you're even starting to look the part, which everybody would know if you would get your profile done on the blog. come on, guys. You guys have to help me. Have to help all pester right. him to death until he gets his profile done on the blog. And the thing is, it'll take 5 minutes. Really. Just, you know, click, and done. Come on. Okay.
I can see a harassment thing coming from dictator killers in about 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. I hope so. Come on, anyway. Dictator killers. Oh, by the way, we got a call on the dedicated line from a California number. However, they did not leave a message. So I do not know if we should call them back or not. So if you're listening to this, if that was you that called on July 31st, call us back. Leave us a message. Let us know when to call you. We certainly will do it.
There's a gift card in this.
Well, that's for Dictator Killer. Or is that for anybody who calls?
You know what? Because this caller ended up essentially rolling initiative and winning against Dictator Killers. This caller will end up receiving that gift card. And it's not PlayStation Network in this person's case. I'll probably do Amazon.
Well, hey, there you go. So we've got a Amazon gift card in the offing if you give us a call back.
Yeah. Just have to give us a call back. No agreements to do interviews or anything like that. Just a
quick call back. Hi, it was me that called.
Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Okay, well, you guys heard it here first. So on to what we are discussing today. One of my all-time favorite actresses ever. Oh, she is beautiful and brilliant and amazing and a terrific actress. Of course, we can't be talking about anybody other than Miss Tilda Swinton.
Completely. What a crush I have on her.
Oh, God. You and half the world, if not more than half.
Oh, yeah.
She is absolutely amazing. I actually have a picture of her nude. No comment on that, huh?
I'm digesting it. I can't wait to see this.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when they did Only Lovers Left Alive.
I think I've sent that to you. I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah, with her and Hiddleston both like curled up on the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's still fantastic. She's got such a rocking body.
Yeah.
God, I wish I was that tiny. But I mean, she's tall and thin. She has, you made the comment earlier, Carrie, that she would be perfect for as a runway model. And she has the she has the absolute perfect body for that. So what was your first
And when you mention Only Lovers Left Alive, that ties her directly to Johnny Depp.
Yep, Tom Hiddleston.
No, Johnny Depp.
Only Lovers Left Alive was Tom Hiddleston.
However, the director was Jim Jarmusch.
Okay, so it ties her directly to both of them.
And so Jarmusch directed, of course, Dead Man Walking.
Not Dead Man.
Or Dead Man, yeah. Yeah. And same director.
Okay, which actually happens to be a friend of Johnny's.
Yeah. Everybody that's kind of cool and in the know is either friends with David Lynch or Jim Jarmusch.
There we go. So she has direct ties to both of our gentlemen.
Yes. Direct, complete direct ties.
Because, of course, she's also part of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with Benedict Cumberbatch in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's definitely got strong ties with both of our men here.
Can you confirm, knowing what you know about the MCU, did she only do the Doctor Strange movies, or was she in any other MCU movies?
She was. She was in one of the
Infinity movies, right?
Yes, she was in one of the Infinity movies.
Okay.
And I'm looking to see which one, and right now it's not popping out at me, so.
I know she's done at least three, which, if you kind of get the hat trick, you know, the three, you are definitely, certainly vetted in the MCU. And, of course, if you get the five and the ace.
Right.
You know.
Right. And she, of course, you know, one of my favorite movies that I've seen her in is Constantine.
Oh, wow. Yes.
But, yeah, she's played in two otherworldly movies with Keanu Reeves, Constantine, and Devil's Advocate.
I forgot about Devil's Advocate and her. Yes.
No, she. Wait a minute. Was she in? She might not have been in Devil's Advocate. Now that I think about it,
she was in something with.
No, she may not have been in Devil's Advocate. I may be wrong. Sorry, I'm looking over a couple of lists while we're doing this. It's a bit disconcerting.
Wow, I can't believe Devil's Advocate was 1997. How old am I getting?
Yeah, and we're not even going to talk about the birthday that's coming up.
Yeah, we got a few.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be there for this birthday, though.
Let's see. Her and Johnny Depp.
I don't think they've ever acted together. I could be wrong, but I don't think they have ever acted together.
they've met each other, and that's about it. That being said, there was apparently some under the table talk of her replacing Johnny in his Fantastic Beast role.
Wow, really?
That would have been really, really cool.
Oh, I don't think anybody could have complained on that one. I mean, some people probably still would have, but that's such a dynamic change.
Well, you know, she does the androgynous thing to great effect. She started with Orlando, and she was playing a purposefully androgynous person, and in Constantine,
right?
You know, she was playing Gabriel,
right?
And that was androgynous purposefully.
Yes, it was. Well, Gabriel in the comic books was male.
Right.
So, and as a matter of fact, she's played two comic book characters that were originally male. One is the what do they call her? The Ancient One.
Right.
Was originally male.
That's right.
And, of course, Gabriel in Constantine comics was originally male.
Yeah.
So, she claims that her beauty and fashion icons are her grandmother, her children, David Bowie, and Patti Smythe.
Sure. Wow. So, she's definitely our age.
Oh, she's a bit beyond our age, my dear.
How old is she?
She was born, matter of fact, her birthday is just days from yours. Her birthday is November 5th, 1960. So the day is just days from yours. The year is quite a bit different.
Yeah, well, that's almost a round, perfect 10 years.
Just about.
Damn, she looks good for 62?
Three. She'll be 63 in November.
Oh my God, I'm gonna be 53.
Baby, you don't look 43, so
all right.
Chill. And with the ponytail going on, yeah, guys, you gotta see this guy. If he'll
I'll put it up. Call me incessantly Saturday while I'm at work and hopefully doing nothing, and I will add to the... I'll do it. Public proclamation. I will do it Saturday. You just have to call me and keep bugging me.
All right. I will call you and keep bugging you if you won't get pissed off at me. Here's a bit of information, and this is what I thought was awesome. She gave birth to twins days. Again, days from when I did. She was heavily... Have you ever seen Love is the Devil? Study for a Portrait of Sir Francis Bacon.
I have not.
It was a 1998 production. She had to be filmed from the waist up because she was heavily pregnant with twins during the filming.
Wow. She's obviously pretty dedicated, which I never questioned, but that definitely puts a pin on it.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to find... She had her own film festival in her hometown in Scotland. And I'm trying to find the official quotes on that one. But of course, now that I'm looking for it, I can't find it.
Well, if you don't mind a little distraction, perhaps while you're looking, she has received an Academy Award. But it was for Best Support Actress.
Okay,
she's never won for lead. She's never won for lead, an Oscar, an Academy Award, or what have you, but she did receive an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress.
For which one? For which movie?
You know, for Michael Clayton in 2007, which I remember that being almost strictly just a big George Clooney film.
Right.
But she was the counsel. She was kind of the one of the attorneys.
Ah, okay.
That was kind of going against, in a way, she was kind of the villain in that movie.
Oh,
and
okay.
She apparently knocked it out of the park. The movie was kind of overlooked. However, not George, Tilda was the standout enough for her to receive that award.
Wow, that is incredible.
Yeah.
She risked arrest in Moscow by waving a rainbow flag in front of the Kremlin in violation of Russia's new homosexual propaganda bill. Posted it widely on social media.
Yeah. And I'm kind of not surprised that she would be that brave.
Me either. She spent 2 years in South Africa and Kenya as a voluntary worker in children's schools.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, this woman is nothing if not brave.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
She lives just a few miles outside of Inverness.
Yes.
So if we ever make it to Scotland, we'll have to swing by Inverness and see if we can find her.
Absolutely.
Oh, here it is.
She
funded and held her own very successful film festival in her small Scottish Highland hometown called the Ballerina Ballroom Cinema of Dreams. Purely cinephile, glamour-free community event. For 8.5 days in August of 2008, she personally introduced and showed an eclectic mix of classics and rare films from around the world. The admission price was £3 for adults, £2 for children, or a plate of home-baked cookies.
Oh my, yes. All right. Awesome.
But she is definitely a cinephile. But yeah, she gave birth to twins, a daughter named Honor Swinton Byrne, and a son named Xavier Byrne on October
6, 1997. Hmm. I wonder who the father was.
I have that information as well. She was with, he's an Irish painter. No, I'm sorry, the Irish painter is who she's with now. Sandro Kopp is the man that she's with now and has been since 2004. John Byrne is a Scottish artist and writer. They were together from sometime around 1989 to 2003.
And you know, I think this is where possibly some of the confusion was, where you and I were convinced that she has a lot of Scottish in her, but apparently it wasn't blood.
Actually, it is. Apparently it is. She has her father is a Scottish elder. Her father is Major General Sir John Swinton of Clan Swinton, the former head of the Queen's Household Division and Lord Lieutenant of Berwickshire.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I mean, a Major General.
Yes.
I mean, this guy.
Major General and Lord Lieutenant.
Yes, to the house.
Yep.
I mean, this guy was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yep. She can trace her patrilineal ancestry back 35 generations to the 9th century.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's definitely got the Scottish blood going on.
Mm-hmm.
She
apparently is really comfortable with the Scottish side.
And they're apparently very comfortable with her. Inverness is not someplace you just move to.
No, right, no. This isn't Glasgow or Edinburgh. You know, Inverness is...
Right, this is a very closed type community.
This is like a more rural version of Savannah, Georgia.
Actually, Savannah would be a lot more welcoming. And if anybody who has ever tried to move to Savannah, they don't like anybody. but it's kind of one of those things you have to get permission from the laird, the county lord, to move to it. So, yeah. You know, yeah, it's not something you just do.
Right. And apparently her daughter, Honor, is a bit of an actress. She's getting on 26 years, and she's done some pretty great things.
She has. Her daughter is... Now, her son, not so much. He would prefer, like his father, he prefers to stay out of the limelight.
All right.
But yeah, the daughter has actually done quite a bit of acting herself. I don't have any of the things that she has done listed here. Just if you've got those at your fingertips.
She's done a few. Her last effort was a film called Drift in 2023. It was a drama film based off of a novel. And apparently it's... And it was a Sundance Film Festival entry.
Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
And it basically is about a Liberian refugee that goes to Greece and develops a friendship with an American tour guide.
Nice.
And Honor does not play this main character, but is a major supporting character in this film that had a fantastic reception.
And what was the name of the film again?
It's called Drift. It's a drama film.
Have to see if we can find that.
It's a French, British, and Greek co-production.
Which means probably not.
Right. So good luck with that. But apparently acting and, you know, the screen of the stage is certainly in the blood, and now we're talking basically sort of like Johnny's offspring. Lily, you know, she's doing her acting and is roughly the same age, I think.
Roundabout.
Yeah. And so these second generation of these fantastic actors that we still admire for their current work have 20-something kids that are... You know, involved in major projects.
And these are definitely some kids that we need to keep an eye on, because they are obviously, they have the chops.
Couldn't agree more.
And if I know with my kids, if they were striving to do something that was a bit beyond their reach, if you know what I mean, you're not going to.
Yeah.
Pick up a guitar and in three weeks be ready to apply, you know, for a major band.
Totally agree. Right. I know where you're going with this.
You know, I would be the first to go, okay, kid, look, you're incredible. You're great. I get it. But, you know, let's dial it back a little bit and start at square one. I can't imagine these parents? Okay, I'm getting feedback from your phone, baby.
Oh.
Let's see. Yep, still feedback.
How about now?
Much better. Okay, I can't imagine these actors as parents allowing their kids to step out there to be embarrassed. I can't imagine that they would be like, oh, yeah, sure, go for it. do what you want to do. Oh my God, this kid's awful, but, you know, they'll figure that out. No, I can't see that happening. I can't imagine that Johnny or Tilda or pretty much any actor that has a child interested in acting would allow them to step out there and be embarrassed or get hurt. That's just not something parents do.
Yeah, being protective.
That's just not something parents do. Now, sometimes, you got to let them go. You got to let them do what they want. But for the most part, I can see if they didn't have the chops, you know, Johnny or Tilda or whoever going, okay, let's dial it back. Let's step back. Let's start at stage one. Let's go from here, you know, and kind of easing them out of that. Let's not go jump into the public limelight right away kind of thing. But Johnny's kid, and I have no doubt Tilda's kid, probably both have more acting chops in their little finger than I've got in my entire body, and I'm damn good. So, So you know, these are definitely kids that we need to watch and watch for. Because I have no doubt we're going to be seeing a whole lot more of them.
And, you know, as I sort of look at her filmography, she started in independent films several years before she did Orlando.
Oh, yes.
And after Orlando, it was a few years of more independent and right under the radar movies. So she did Orlando in 1992, and she acted in a few films. That was 1993.
Okay.
She acted in 94, 96, 97, and movies that most general, you know, listeners, and certainly not us, would have seen.
Right.
And then 2000, she did a supporting role in The Beach with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
And then in 2001, she had a supporting role in Vanilla Sky. And after that, it was a few more weird roles. And then 2005, Constantine.
Now, see, I didn't realize, and I'm trying to remember who she was, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Was she the girlfriend?
You know, I actually haven't seen The Case of Benjamin Button.
I only watched it once, and I will never watch it again. That movie hurt me so bad.
Yeah, it was pretty tough.
Actually. Oh, man.
And hats off to Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Another pretty boy that actually can really, really act his ass off.
Another pretty boy that actually has some friggin' talent.
Yeah, you know, we talk about Leo. We, you know.
No, Leo's not near as pretty as Brad.
Well, and she was in, Burn After Reading, you know, and that's Brad.
Burn After Reading was Brad, too?
Yeah, he was in Burn After Reading. He was one of the central characters.
Oh, my God. No, that's right. He was the one who got shot going through the window.
Yeah, he was the kind of jock bicycle guy. Right.
Yeah, he's the one that got shot going through the window. Yeah.
Yeah, poor B.S.
Yeah, and to think all of that crap got... I'm getting feedback again.
And, you know, I would love to do kind of a retrospective feature episode over Brad Pitt, not because of his acting contributions, but maybe a little, but his connection with both of these actors. And it really does, when you look at his body of work, he's done a lot of weird kind of roles, too.
That's one thing I was going to say is, and I think I mentioned it to you in a text yesterday, Tilda Swinton and Johnny Depp seem to have very similar tastes in, or not really tastes in films, but they have the same ideals when it comes to what they want to do and what they decide they're going to do. you know, Johnny does movies that speak to him. He does movies that mean something to him. Apparently so does Tilda.
Yeah, you know, there are these actors that do the blockbuster every once in a while, and then they gear up for the roles they really like that are often independent.
Right.
Right.
You know, or off the radar. And Tilda, I mean...
She's done so much, and she's just so fantastic at it.
She's done so many chameleon roles. You know, we talked about how she was in Trainwreck with her good friend, apparently, Amy Schumer.
Yes, yes, she is very good friends with Amy Schumer.
Hmm. You know, and in that movie, she was totally unrecognizable.
You were telling me that.
Yeah, and she was a vapid, just shallow fashion editor.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine. But hey, it would take somebody like Tilda to bring that to life, you know, when it's not who they are.
So do you have a role that you really enjoyed her in besides her MCU stuff? And besides her comic book movies, besides comics.
Oh, man, you had to cut that one out.
I mean, did you ever watch The Chronicles of Narnia?
I did, and I thought she was brilliant and terrifying.
Yes.
I read the books, Chronicles of Narnia, when I was in my teens. And I always thought... she played the White Witch, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And I always thought of the White Witch as being more of a... kind of more of like the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz kind of character. But seeing her brought to life by Tilda Swinton, it, like I said, she was brilliant and beautiful and terrifying, and it made so much more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
It made the character make so much more sense than the way that I saw that character as I was reading the books.
I definitely get the impression that she read the C.S. Lewis work.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't imagine that she would not have. She's so thorough with everything else. She actually learned Russian and German for one of her film roles. I'm trying to pull it back up again. But she actually learned two different languages for one particular role. So, for I Am Love in 2009. She learned to speak Italian and Russian. I'm sorry. She learned to speak Italian and Russian for that role. If she's going to do that, yeah, I can't imagine her not reading the books.
And that is a under-the-radar kind of role. You know, I Am Love, not a lot of people saw it, and she had the dedication to learn another language. So
two other languages.
Two other languages.
And she reminds me a lot of the stories I've heard about Alan Rickman. On her off days from Chronicles of Narnia, when she did not have to be on set, you could find her on set talking to her young co-stars, offering encouragement, help, advice from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in 2005.
Yep, not surprised. You definitely get the impression that she's kind of a philanthropist and loves people.
And the younger people, could not find the quote from where I was looking, but I do seem to remember her talking about how she liked children more than adults because children still had open minds.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I can totally empathize with that, and I can kind of see where she's coming from.
Absolutely.
Because adults are awful.
Adults are horrible, and women are worse than men. And we are coming up to the close once again. However, I do want to. Okay.
I was gonna get your impression on a few roles.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so we haven't talked about Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh, I'm getting feedback again.
This window. All right, so here we go.
Let's see. Nope, still getting feedback.
So, Only Lovers Left Alive.
Oh, what can I say? She was incredible. Both actors were amazing. I thought the storyline itself was kind of trite.
Yeah.
Because I'm sorry, it's two eternal creatures named Adam and Eve.
Yeah,
okay, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way to start with. But
yeah, that's presumptuous.
But her character is this bohemian kind of, she talks about buying Adam his first instruments. She talks about, you know, just various things. And then, of course, they introduce Wasikowska's character as her younger sister. And I'm sorry, but one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie. Adam calls his human helpers drones. Zombies. I'm sorry. Zombies.
Yeah.
So they introduce the little sister to his zombie of choice at the time. Well, they leave the two of them alone. Duh. Hello. Not smart.
Yeah. Guess what happens?
She ate him.
Yeah.
And so they get back up. They come down. He's dead on the couch. She's holding her stomach. She goes, oh, I can't believe you ate him. I know, and now I feel sick. She goes, he's a fucking musician. What do you expect?
Yeah, it's full of stuff.
I mean, it was just brilliant. But her character in Only Lovers Left Alive was phenomenal, and no one could have pulled it off like her. I can't imagine any other actress being able to pull this off the way that she did.
It had got to be her, you know?
It had to be. Okay,
well,
so,
and in the same year, she did Snowpiercer.
I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Yeah, where she was a Margaret Thatcher type, aged. They definitely made her incredibly homely, gave her the Coke bottle glasses and that sort of thing. And she was pretty amazing in it.
Speaking of, you know, she was slated to play Professor Trelawney in the Harry Potter series and gave it up.
What? Did they say why?
Did not, but Emma Thompson landed the role instead.
Not a bad replacement.
No, not at all. But you said Coke bottle glasses. It made me think about it.
Yeah, right. She's done just a lot of The Dead Don't Die, another Jim Jarmusch movie.
Now, I have heard some amazing things about that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah, it's Bill Murray and her and Adam Driver. You know, I mean, what a weird cast. Chloe Sevigny was in it.
The Dead Don't Die had Bill Murray in it?
Oh, he was the sheriff. He was the main character.
Oh, wow. I'm definitely going to have to watch this.
Danny Glover was in it. Iggy Pop was
what?
In it.
Okay, now Iggy Pop I can see being in a movie called The Dead Don't Die.
Yeah, and in a Jim Jarmusch movie, actually, he's the one where you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Everybody else, you're like, what?
Right.
And she was, and I really encourage, for, you know, we talk about Jim Jarmusch a lot. Just because of, you know, his activity with Johnny and sort of his periphery stuff.
Right.
But The Dead Don't Die is a very accessible movie if you want to get into Jim Jarmusch. And Tilda was just, it's the weirdest role you've possibly seen her in.
That's saying something.
And it really, and I'm not exaggerating, she is a Scottish seer that is also adept at the Eastern martial art of swordplay.
Oh, nice!
And she's hanging out in a small town in Wisconsin.
Okay. You know, I'm definitely going to have to look into seeing how much of the martial arts that she actually knows. That's something I'll definitely have to look into. But we are coming up on our close. However, from last week, from Charlize Theron's, one thing never got mentioned, and I'm sorry, but I have to mention it now. She has, you know, she adopted a girl and a boy. Well, her son identifies as her daughter. And Charlize's comment was, I am raising two beautiful, strong, intelligent African women. So,
right.
Hats off to you, Charlize. Thank you so much.
Yes, she never forgot where she came from.
Well, and the fact that she accepts her child regardless is a big thing with me. I've had so many kids come to me. My mom doesn't love me anymore. My dad doesn't love me anymore because of this, because of that. So, hats off, Charlize. You are the woman.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, contact information.
You know, so to kind of expand, of course, PlayStation Network. I'm on every other night. I am 2300, no spaces, two L's. You can also, I guess, look me up on Facebook, where I am Carrie Kelso, K-A-R-Y-K-E-L-S-O-E. Apparently, I'm going to have to reactivate my Facebook account because...
Oh, is your whole Facebook account done? Is your whole Facebook account? I know that you were having trouble with the Messenger, but...
Yeah, well, I've basically suspended it, but I have to reactivate it.
Oh, fun. All right.
Because of fantasy football.
Oh! Oops.
And, I love this time of year, but that is the one thing that I'm like, So, if you want to reach out on Facebook, look up Carrie Kelso, as spelled.
Personal information, you know, we're not supposed to be giving that out. So,
well, it's going to be part of the profile.
Well, I guess.
This is part of me committing. This is me committing to this thing Saturday.
Oh, I got it. Okay. All right. I guess that means I have to go back and put, like, a little bit more personal information with mine. Okay, guys, we have a couple of ways to get in touch. We have depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. Sorry, at hotmail.com, not Yahoo. Don't know where that came from. We have depheadshiddlestoners.com, which is, that'll take you straight to our blog. You can go also through barryreese.net. Click on the link. We also have the dedicated phone line, which is 949-373-5476. It's a little kind of weird answering service type deal, but leave us a message, leave us your name, let us know when to call you back. We will do so. And for the California caller, please get in touch. Yeah. Call us back.
Yeah.
Any other information?
We love California.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'd love to go to California. Except for the whole, you know, no gas-powered vehicles kind of thing. But...
Not all of them.
Well, my daughter's a truck driver, and she's like, yeah, it'll never fly with the big rigs. There's no way they will ever do that with the big rigs.
Right.
But anyway, guys, we are going to be here. You've got the contact information. Get a hold of us. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. Let us know who you want to hear about. Because I'm telling you, between the two of us, we've got some research chops you wouldn't believe. So,
oh, man. So right.
I come up with all kinds of information that you had no idea about, don't I?
Yeah. I won't test.
Absolutely.
She has reaper skills, people.
I do have the skills. Now, if I could just get paid for them.
Yeah.
All right, guys. This is Jen.
This is Carrie.
And we'll see you next time. Keep listening.
Love and peace.
Peace and love, guys. We're out.
Bye.